top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening, this is the Prime Evening News for today, Wednesday, May 16th, 2018. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. In the headlines, Antigua and Barbuda police arrested a Dominican man for possession of 90.9 pounds of marijuana Tuesday. 12 presumed marked for death after murder of Trinidadian millionaire car dealer Sharon, a.k.a. World Boss Sudio. Russian to fight money laundering by allowing only members of state-run register of crypto investors to use digital currencies. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. The details of these stories and more coming up.
Dominica, get back on track with Quartz. Let us help you benefit from our credit protection insurance plan. If you or someone you know lost an item purchased from Quartz during the passage of Hurricane Maria, you may be eligible for assistance through the Quartz Credit Protection Insurance Plan. Look out for representatives in a community near you or call 448-7655 extension 2435 or 2436 for more information. Get back on track with Quartz. Offer valid on active credit accounts only. Terms and conditions apply. Quartz, bringing value home.
Antigua and Barbuda police have reportedly arrested a man whom they allege is from Dominica for possession of marijuana weighing some 90.9 pounds. He was not identified since he has not yet been charged. The 49-year-old man was said to have been intercepted on Tuesday and was arrested along with a 33-year-old female from Antigua. A search warrant was executed at a residence where another quantity of marijuana was found with an estimated value of $360,360 and that's $1,315 and EC 6,370.25 in cash was also seized. In a press conference held today, public relations officer for the Dominica Grotto Home, Parry Bellot, announced that the Grotto Home family will be relocating before the next hurricane season. Bellot said the move is a task in itself and that they have reached out to the ambulance service to assist in transporting some of the residences.
Big news really is that, and some of you all have been wondering, when is the Grotto going to move to the new place? We finally have a date. We are making all arrangements to move all our residents the last weekend of May, so that will be before the hurricane season, the 25th, 26th, 27th. And the idea is to mobilize a lot of assistance from people and organizations that can help. Mostly like, obviously, Red Cross, the ambulance service. I'm not sure how much police security will be required, but they will be informed of the move and so on. Ministry of Social Affairs and this kind of thing. But as you can imagine, it's going to be quite though an operation. In fact, I sometimes feel like I'm in a war zone trying to manage stuff, and because I'm kind of coordinating the thing. And I've actually taken the decision that to make sure everything comes to pass. I say to make sure because we've always had maybe good reasons why we have delayed the move or it couldn't happen. And I'm going to make sure it happens, no matter what. It might be that the ambulance services say that Mr. Bellot can help with 5 ambulances to move most of it at one time, but generally speaking, we are committed to that weekend. There are going to be some financial costs involved, and we are getting some benefactors.
Public Relations Officer for the Dominica Grotto Home, Parry Bellot. Acting Local Government Commissioner Glenroy Toussaint acknowledges the Village Council's active participation in the post-Hurricane Maria recovery process. Toussaint says that their actions bears testimony to 2 key elements of local government, which is to create effective communication channels between central government and the communities, and the promotion of economic, environmental, and the cultural well-being of communities. He was speaking on the National Climate Resilience Consultation for councils.
I also wish to place on record the department's appreciation for the involvement of the councils in the post-Maria recovery process. Your participation is critical as you endeavor to collectively improve the quality of life of your residents following such devastation by Hurricane Maria. Your collaboration with the various government ministries and departments, as well as other stakeholders, bears testimony to two key objectives of local government, one of which is to create effective communication channels between central government and the communities. In that way, you serve as conduits through which the policies, outputs, programs, projects, information of central government impact on communities. The other important objective of local government is to promote the social, economic, environmental, and cultural well-being of communities. Hence, it is on the basis of these two core objectives that the local authorities are heavily recognized to play a significant role in our thrust towards building community resilience in keeping with the national focus of making Dominica the first climate resilient country in the world.
Local Government Commissioner Acting Mr. Glenroy Toussaint. MP for the Salisbury constituency Hector John is urging the DLP government to be more proactive in repairing Dominica's road network. John referenced the double lane Alayu Bridge, which received some extensive damage due to the passage of Hurricane Maria in September 2017. One lane of the bridge has been destroyed and currently provides unwanted pressure on the other, which is currently in use. John says due to the lack of initiative of the Ministry of Works, nine months post Hurricane Maria, the debris is still there and poses a bigger threat for the next hurricane season, which begins in June 2018.
A serious concern that we have within the United Workers Party and Dominicans by extension, the road users who continue to see a deterioration of our road network and the government reaction to that, and that is the concern that we have. You have so much money being spent to do the different things and to do your politicking. What about ensuring the safety of the people that elect you to be in government? And that is what we would like to see happen. But enough is not going to happen. Look, we have a serious a disaster waiting to happen in Layu. The Eastern Bridge in Layu got compromised during Hurricane Maria. We have not done anything to remove that. If it stays there, it can trap all the debris and logs and everything and put unnecessary pressure on the single bridge that we have crossing the Layu River. Nothing has been done. We are 9 months after Hurricane Maria, and we have not removed that old bridge before the only bridge standing across the Layu River going into Tonga, and that is some concern that we have. You have the Bailey Bridge at Batali dropping on the northern end, and it have dropped maybe close to half a foot. How do we, as a country, as people commuting daily on that bridge, and we just remain passive and not even raising a concern? I have been raising these concerns for a long time now, and I remain consistent that we need to do more to ensure that our road network around the island is up to par and that Dominicans can move from one end to the other.
MP for the Salisbury constituency, Hector John. Leader of the People's Party of Dominica, Sophia Carrington, is urging Dominicans to see through the lines as it relates to the Dominica's politics and the governance strategy of the Dominica Labour Party. Carrington referenced the need for Dominicans to make wiser decisions when they vote during the future elections.
It is not by accident that the theme for local government month was chosen, and of course we are all aware of the theme, Building Community Resilience Through Local Government. The theme was a deliberate...
I apologize for the wrong news insert, but we do apologize for not having that clip right here. But moving on to the next... With the intention to build safer and more resilient communities in Dominica, the Ministry of Ecclesiastic, Family and Genders Affairs, along with the Department of Local Government and Community Development, hosted a national climate resilience consultation for the village councils. The consultation was held at the Dominica Public Service Union, DPSU, building today, Wednesday, May 16th, 2018, as the AG Local Government Commissioner, Mr. Glenroy Toussaint, spoke on how the theme came about and the importance of the council's involvement.
It is not by accident that the theme for local government month was chosen. And of course, we are all aware of the theme, Building Community Resilience Through Local Government. The theme was a deliberate attempt to deepen the discussion on the need for safer and more resilient communities in Dominica. Of course, Hurricane Maria has taught us many lessons which we shall never or should never forget. It clearly taught us that climate change is real and that we either develop adaptative and mitigation strategies or we continue to perish. I'm pretty certain the latter is not a preferred option for any of us in this room.
He went on to note that the new mentality is needed to approach the topic of resilience, and that the listed objectives of the consultations are what follows.
It means, therefore, we have to develop a new thinking. And that new vision moving forward is that we have to breathe resilience, we have to eat resilience, we have to sleep resilience, and importantly, we have to live resilience. We certainly have no option but to become resilient individuals, resilient communities, and ultimately a resilient country. The consultation has three broad objectives. One, to allow councils to have a clearer understanding of the Climate Resilience Education Agency of Dominica, often called the CREED, as well as Dominica's Low Climate Resilience Development Strategy. The consultation is also seek to build consensus on the role of the councils in building community resilience. And finally, the avenue will be explored for the development of community-based climate resilient projects. I wish to encourage each and every one of you to take this consultative process very seriously, since it will serve as a roadmap for the councils and by extension the community's climate resilience strategy in pursuit of the realization of a climate resilient Dominica.
Local Government Commissioner Acting Mr. Glenroy Toussaint, former Professor of Sociology and Acting Director General of the Dominica Red Cross, Dr. Jasmine Solomon, has provided an update on the current state of affairs of the Dominica Red Cross Society.
Yes, my remit in coming here is to help in restructuring, reorganizing the Dominica Red Cross, making it prepared for any other hurricane or eventuality, and ultimately to recommend to the board my replacement. The real difficulty, of course, is a recovery to meet the needs of the vulnerable people in the society. And as you know, there are many roofs, many houses, many people's lives were damaged. So I'm involved with the operation to help to deal with that challenge, but also to restructure the Dominica Red Cross. Anytime you are restructuring an organization, there are always difficulties. Anytime you're bringing about change, there are difficulties, but they are not insurmountable. Our real concern is to ensure that whatever we do, our target is on meeting the needs of the vulnerable.
Dr. Solomon says he will provide recommendation for reconstruction of the Dominica Red Cross executive. He added that he has successfully created and presented an action plan for the effective management and operation of the Red Cross Society here. Dr. Solomon has more details.
My priorities is to, first of all, get proper staff on board, to restructure the governance of the organization, and to restructure the management of the organization. One of the things that was necessary is to ensure that all branches of the National Society are active. There are 8 branches, and they have not been active for many years. And one of my fundamental responsibilities is to make sure that those branches are all active, and I can report to you with a certain amount of satisfaction that all branches since the 15th of April have been fully reestablished and active. They weren't active for a host of reasons, and I should tell you the fact of the matter is my remit is not even to deal with why things weren't happening, but to look at what needs to happen. And I have done the assessment and have prepared a work plan, an action plan, and we are well on the way to addressing those. My statement to my colleagues at the Dominica Red Cross, let us not look backward, let us look forward to what we need to do and to ensure that we are always prepared for any eventuality.
Former Professor of Sociology and Acting Director General of the Dominica Red Cross, Dr. Jasmine Solomon, who spoke on Q95 on Wednesday. The Ministry of Commerce, Enterprise and Small Business Development hosted a workshop on maintaining comprehensive disaster risk management in the MSME support ecosystems of the Caribbean region at the Goodwill Parish Hall today. 60 persons involved in the micro, small and medium-sized enterprises were invited to attend the two-day workshop, which opened today, May 16th. Director of the Center of Environment Management of the Institute of Sustainable Development of the University of the West Indies, Dr. David Smith, says he hopes that this workshop better prepares people for the next major climatic event, in the hopes that the workshop will help participants reduce the amount of damage suffered so that they will not have to lay off employees and return to function in business as quickly as possible. The two-day workshop is being facilitated by Michael Beetle of the Institute for Business Continuity Training. And in other news, 12 presumed marked for death after the murder of a Trinidadian millionaire car dealer, Sharon, aka World Boss Sukadio. Over a dozen people are believed to be marked for death following the murder of Trinidadian millionaire car dealer, aka World Boss. Amongst those marked are Siduko's wife, Rachel, several of her family members, and people employed by her. So far, four have already been killed. These include Rachel's brother, Philip Bassin, close friends Joshua Plaza, and her driver and confidante, Corinne Beckles, who was shot dead around 10 p.m. on Sunday. Police say his criminal empire was financed by money launderers, the drug cartel spanning 15 years, and was well protected by the Muslim gang. Now that Sharon is dead, anyone who is seen associating with his family could be placed on the hit list, leads say. Police said they had also been hearing talk about the hit list going on, but have not been able to verify if this is accurate or not. On March 26, Sharon Suduku, aka World Boss, was shot dead outside the home of his in-laws. April 22nd, Siduku's neighbors, Joshua Plaza, age 21, of Savannah Heights, was shot dead. Like Sharon, he received a phone call, and when he walked outside his building, he was shot in cold blood. On May 4th, Philip Bassin, Rachel's younger brother, received a call of death, and when he walked outside, he was gunned down almost in the exact same spot where Sharon was killed. It is believed that both Bassin and Plaza were directly involved in Sharon's murder. May 13th, Corinne Beckles was shot dead near the new settlement Savannah in Chaguanas. After leaving a bar and was crossing the road, he was shot several times and shot dead on the way to the hospital, says the Trinidadian Guardian. And the Russian government plans to fight money laundering by only allowing members of the state-run register of crypto investors to mine for and use digital currencies. The Russian Central Bank and Finance Ministry is saying that the bill regulating all cryptocurrency operations is already in the works, and it could receive an assessment from the State Duma Committee for Legislative Work as soon as this week. The bill introduces the definition of cryptocurrency or digital money into Russian law, along with the provision that such means of payment cannot be considered legal tender. The existing draft requires anyone who intends to conduct operations with cryptocurrency on Russian territory to undergo state certification and to get on a special state register of crypto investors. Any crypto wallet will be associated with personal data of its owner, such as passport number, individual's taxpayer identification number, and biometric data such as fingerprints. However, some industry experts, such as the head of the IT department of the Russian Oketry Bank, Sergei Rushanov, noted that the draft in its existing form does not contain any punishment for those who violate it, and the transborder nature of cryptocurrency operations make it very difficult for the state agencies to enforce the regulations. Currently, Russia has about 2 million crypto investors, and the group foresees that this number will be reaching 3 million by the end of the year and 4 million in 2019. And this is the Prime Evening News, but first a recap of our headlines. Antigua and Barbuda police arrested a Dominican man for possession of 90.9 pounds of marijuana on Tuesday, 12 presumed marked for death after murder of Trinidadian millionaire car dealer Sharon, aka World Boss Sukdio, Russian to fight money laundering by allowing only members of state-run register of crypto investors to use digital currencies. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. If you miss any of our newscasts, log on to our website website at q95da.com to view the stories or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. For any breaking story or latest development, send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message to 615-1426 or 276-2147. On behalf of the entire news team, I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Do have yourself a wonderful evening.
Top of the hour news, as it happens, when it